Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Tes Zayin. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we started a series of attempts and answers to explain the din of the Mishnah that stated that a shevet is judged only by the court of 71, the Sanhedrin HaGadol. We featured the series of answers to serve as explanation of that particular halacha, namely, we're talking about a tribe being judged, so what did they sin in order to warrant judgment? This requires some explanation. And we started a series, as is indicated by the triangle marking, one of our geometric forms indicating a series, and we also had explained it through the topic heading and structural note that appeared in the outside margin of Daf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. The last answer that we saw was the second answer that was provided by the Gemara, and it was talking about the sin of idolatry, that an entire shevet was guilty of Avodah Zarah. Upon that, the Gemara raised a question. We don't find a source for that answer. In other words, there is a concept of public idolatry, and that comes in the form of what's known as ir hanidachas. Under what circumstances, and in terms of statistics, how much of the population is necessary to be in violation of idol worship in order to create this ir hanidachas status? So we saw two Tanaic opinions, those of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan. But neither one of whom hold that an entire shevet will take on the din of ir hanidachas, which is a situation where you have public idol worship that is in fact judged by the court of 71. Therefore, the Gemara is forced to seek out a new approach, and that is what we see in the last few words of Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Omar Rav Matona, we notice he too is triangled, and he's indicated as number 3 in the little space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Rav Matona says, Hocha binosi shevet shechota. Our Mishnah that says shevet is judged by 71, it's really a reference to the head of the shevet that sinned. That sinned in any one of the capital offenses of the Torah. Once again, we say Benosi Shevet at the very top of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Benosi Shevet Shechota Askinan. We're involved with that. Mi lo Omar Rav Adobar Avo, did he not say Kol Hadover Hagodol Yoviu Elecho equals Dvorov Shogodol? The Pasuk says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, who has because of his lofty status, has the same power as the Beis Din of Shivim Ve'echad, has the same status as such a Beis Din, and regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that Dover HaGadol will be brought to you, and Dover HaGadol means matters of the Gadol, Dvorav Shel Gadol, Hai Nami Gadol Hu, the Nasi Shevet is also a leading figure, is an Adam Gadol. Hence, we can use Rav Matana's Pshat to explain the Mishnah, that Nosi a Shevet is judged by the court of 71, we're talking about the Nosi Shevet. A fourth approach, Ula Omar Rebbe Lozar, Beboyin al Iske Nachlois Uchetichi Losa Shel Eretz Yisrael. The issue that concerns a Shevet that needs 71 is an issue that arises concerning inheritance of land, of tribal land, which area of land, if a land dispute arises concerning tribal borders, that type of case will be brought to the case of 71. And the reason for that is that borders of tribes are similar to the initial entrance to Eretz Yisrael, which involved the division of the land between the tribes. And that took place under the jurisdiction of the head of the courts. Rashi says, "Uketrilos shel Eretz Yisrael kach dino li'olam im naflo machlokes naflo b'shevet," that this is the din that shall apply all the time, just like the beginning of Eretz Yisrael was with 71. So too, through the generations, matters concerning land boundaries of Shevatim will be done by, will be overseen by 71. That's what the Gemara now says. Matchiloso shivim ve'echad, af kan shivim ve'echad. Just like the beginning was under the jurisdiction of 71, so too if a controversy develops, that will be judged by 71. The Gemara now asks, if you're so committed to the parallel between current dispute and original division of land, well, let's see if the parallel holds up. Ima tchilosa kalfi urim v'tumim v'chol Yisrael, afkan kalfi urim v'tumim v'chol Yisrael. Just like the beginning involved the casting of lots, which was contained in the kalfi vessel, and the urim v'tumim, a reference to the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that had miraculous features in being able to reveal heavenly messages, and it was done in the presence, the division of Eretz Yisrael was done in the presence of all of the people. So too, are you going to tell me that for subsequent generations, any issue that arises over land borders is going to be under the same circumstances? Obviously no. So this idea that Ula expresses of land disputes being under the jurisdiction of 71, land disputes of a tribal nature, parallel to the beginning of Eretz Yisrael, doesn't seem likely. Ela machvarto k'derav matona. Rather, machvarto, it's more likely, like Rav Matona explained, who was answer number 3, involving Nosi Shevet. Another approach. Truth is that even though we are calling this 5, it's a throwback to the second approach. Ravina Omar li'olam b'shevet shehudach. The Mishnah that says a shevet is judged by 71 is a reference to a shevet that went astray in terms of Avodah Zorah. Udoko kashiloch, and you ask bedino derabim dainino lei? The question had been raised, and in order to see where this particular quote comes from, we also provide an arrow indicating to look back at Tes Vav Amud Beis and find a parallel arrow, and in fact you will find one close to the bottom of the page where the arrow there indicates Tes Zayin of Aleph, where the objection was raised that we don't find an entire Shevet being subjected to the Din Harabim, the Din, the law associated with public idolatry, as we saw as far as Tanaic opinions, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason, that said that the maximum opinion stated up till Rov of the Shevet would be treated as public idolatry, but not an entire Shevet. So the Gemara answers, in, we will view an entire Shevet in a similar fashion as what's called Dino Derabim and subject them to judgment at the hands of 71. Afagav Dekatlinon Biyochid, even though the death penalty that will be meted out to these violators will be that's characteristic of private idolatry, namely a Skiva, Beidino Derabim Deininon Lei. Nevertheless, the judgment will be at the hands of the Beisdin of the Rabbim, namely the court of 71. Milo Omar of Chama Rabbi Yosi Omar Rabbi Yoshaya. Has he not said regarding the following pasuk, which concerns Avodah Zarah, V'hotseiso eso ishahu eso isho hahi el she'orecha uskaltam. And we say, ish v'isha ata motzi l'sha'orecha, a private person, a man or a woman in a private sense, in an individual sense, they are taken l'sha'orecha. L'sha'orecha literally means the gates. That's a place that the Beis Din used to sit at the entrance of cities. That's the location of the Sanhedrin Ktana. So we say that individuals are prosecuted by the local Sanhedrins of 23. However, but we do not take an entire city to Sharecha, to local Beis Dins for prosecution. Rather, they're taken to Sanhedrin HaGodol. Hochanami, so too, in our case, regarding an entire Shevet, Ish v'isha ato motzi l'sharecha, v'ato motzi kol ha-shevet kulo l'sharecha. Private persons, as the Pasuk indicated, are taken to the local Sanhedrin for prosecution, but not an entire Shevet. Notice with the markings what we've done. We've emphasized with the dashed underline the expression Kol Ha'ir and Kol HaShevet. In other words, the Pasuk featured those who are taken L'Sharecha to the private, to the local Beis Dins, namely the private individuals, the singular individuals, but not Kol Ha'ir, and likewise not called Hashevet. We continue in the Gemara with another quote from the Mishnah, Lo es Novi Hasheker, unless you have Elo Alpi Basin Shelshivim Ve'echad. And the topic that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara is on the outside margin, Nosei, the Mokor, a source, the Novi Sheker, that a false prophet, Nidon, the Basin Shelshivim Echad, that he is judged at the hands of a Bezin of 71. The Gemara asks, Minohani Mili, what is the source for this din of 71 for judgment of Novi Sheker? Before we go further, we also notice another one of our markings, in this case the double underline marking that indicates multiple effect of something. We have here Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina offering a source for the 71. In this case, and later on we will see Reish Lakish addressing the issue. Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Asya Hazoda Hazoda, a word comparison, a Gzera Shava, involving the word whose root has to do with Hazoda, with predetermined intent, with intent. Mizokein Mamre, from the rebellious scholar. Ma lahalon b'shivim ve'echad, just like the Zokein Mamre is dealt with, becomes a Zokein Mamre by challenging the court of 71. Afkan b'shivim ve'echad, so too in terms of the death of the Novi Hasheker's prosecution, he's prosecuted by 71. The Gemara asks, v'ho hazoda ki ksiva, the Pasuk in the context of the Zokein Mamre, which the Gemara is citing, where the Pasuk says, "For Isha Shiryase Bezodoin," that Pasuk by the Zokein Mamre, "Bekatlo Hu Diksiva," "Bekatlo Beesrim Utlosahu," that Pasuk is not said in the context of the of a court of 71. The Pasuk of Zokein Mamre that says that word, and we read the Pasuk, we'll mention again, Vo'ish Asher Yaseh B'Zodoin, that said in the context of his being put to death. And the Zokein Mamre is put to death at the hands of a court of 23. His judgment for capital punishment is judged by a court of 23. So this word comparison will not enable us to reach our goal of proving that the Novi Sheker is prosecuted by a court of 71. Elo Omar Reish Lakish Gomar Dovar Dovar Mehamro also. There's another word comparison that will answer our question. By the Zokein Mamre, we find he encounters the court of 71. Bahamro also means in his rebelliousness, his defiance, whereby he argues with the court of 71, and that's what brands him as a Zokin Mamre. Of course, we mentioned before, he's prosecuted, that's a later stage, but he does encounter the court of 71 in his Hamra'ah. So too, we find by the Navi Sheker, the word Davar, and that is in the context of the Navi Sheker's death sentence, where the Pasuk says, Asher Yozid Ledaber Davar. And therefore, the Navi Sheker will be prosecuted by the same type of court that the Zokein Mamre stood in defiance of, namely the 71. The Gemara asks, if we're already comparing them, the Novi Sheker, to the Zokein Mamre, the Lahadir Zokein Mamre Veligmar Hazoda Mi Novi Sheker, let's now allow the Gezeira Shava to work backwards, so to speak, in the other direction, and say, and let us learn Zokein Mamre from the Novi Sheker, just like by the Novi Sheker we see the word Hazoda, and that Pasuk appears in his death sentencing. We know that the word Hazoda appears by the Zokein Mamre as well, by his death sentencing, and let us say that the Zokein Mamre, just like the Novi Sheker, will be prosecuted by 71. Let us read that again from the beginning of the line. V'lahader Zokein Mamre v'ligmar hazoda mi Novi Sheker, and the result being, like we said, that the Zokein Mamre will be prosecuted for his death penalty by 71. The Gemara answers, Dover Gomir. Hazoda lo gomir. Reish Lakish has a tradition of dover to be compared, the word comparison, or the gzeirah shava of dover. He doesn't have a tradition of a gzeirah shava between the words of hazoda. And Rashi points out that gzeirah shavas are not man's invention. That is something that is dependent on a tradition. Either you have it or you don't. This, of course, is in contrast with different forms of extrapolation or drusha, for example, that of a Kal V'Chomer, whereby a person argues something from logic that he is able to do on his own. However, Gezeirah Shava is not something one is able to do on their own. V'lo es Kohen Gadol. The note on the outside margin, the Nosei, Hamokor, the source, the Kohen Gadol, Nidon Bebezin Shel Shivim Ve'echad, that a high priest is judged by a court of 71. Mino Hanimili, what's the source for this? Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Omar Kro, Kol Adavor HaGadol Yoviu Elecha. And that is explained as Dvorov Shel Gadol. We saw this Pasuk quoted above, as well in the context of Nosi Shevet, so to Dovor of Shel Gadol, matters of the great man, will include a Kohen Gadol. Mesve, we raise an objection from the following Tanaic source. We've labeled this Aleph with a little diamond around it. And if you see an Aleph, there always has to be a base. There will be a second Tanaic source a little bit later. What will happen is this source is raised as a challenge to Rav Ada. Later, after we finish this challenge, the Gemara will point out that Rav Ada bases himself on a second Tanaic source. The first Tanaic source at first reading will seem a little bit confusing. The Gemara itself will deal with the point of difficulty as is raised later. Meisve, Davar Gadol. This is a reference to the pasuk we just saw that said, Kol HaDavar HaGadol. Davar Gadol, what is that a reference to? Davar Koshe, a difficult matter, as opposed to matters of a great man. Ata omer dovor koshe oy eno elo dvorov shel gadol. Are you saying it means a hard matter, or maybe it really means matters of a great man? Kishuomer es hadavor hakosheh yaviun el Moshe. There's another pasuk that says that the difficult matters are brought to Moshe. Hare davar kosha amur. So we see that the matters brought to Moshe Rabbeinu are matters of difficulty, not the matters of a great person. So that leaves Rav Ava bar Ava without his source. The Gemara answers, who the Amar Rav Ava bar Ava bases his answer, in which he said, Hadavar hagadol yovio elecha, that the Dover Gadol will be brought to Moshe, and he, Rav Ava, thought that meant the matters of a person who's Gadol, great man, is he says what he says as based on the following source. Hu de'amar ki hai tana, disanya, this is source, base with a diamond, Dover Gadol, the same opening, equals Dvorov shel Gadol, and we've dashed underlined this as we dashed underline the same phrase a few lines, a similar phrase, the quote from the Pasuk a few lines up, where Rav Ava bar Ava made his presentation. Namely, from this Pasuk of Hadavar Gadol, we learn it means matters of a great man. Ato imer dvorav shel gadol einu elo dvor hakosheh. The source raises the same type of questions we saw before. Are you insistent upon the interpretation of great matters of great man, or maybe it means difficult matters? The word gadol could mean something big in terms of complexity. Kishu omer hadavar kosheh, when we have another pasuk that says difficult matters, hare dovar kosheh amur, so issues of difficulty are already stated in another place. Ha amani mekayim dovar gadol, so what should I do with this pasuk that uses a different expression, namely dovar gadol? Dvarav shel gadol, that's a reference to matters of a great man. And those are brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, and as we mentioned on an earlier occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu is the equivalent of the Sanhedrin HaGolo of 71. With that having been said, the first source was a little bit troublesome. And in what sense? Why would I need two psukim to refer to Dover Kosheh? V'hai Tana Trei Kroi Lomali. What do I need two psukim for the same point? Notice in the source we labeled Aleph with a diamond, we included a dotted underline under the expressions Dover Kosheh. That was to create the feeling that the issue of Dover Kosheh is mentioned twice in Psukim, and hence the Gemara's Kasha right now. Why do I need two references to the same thing? Answer, Chad Litzavo Obiyamo V'chad La'asiyah. One pasuk is a reference to the instruction, the command to have the difficult matters brought to Moshe, and the second pasuk, the other pasuk, is an indication that it in fact took place, that it was executed, that it was done. V'idach, the second source, the base, notice how we're using the diamonds again to make for easy reference to which source is under discussion. V'idach is a reference to the second source, who did not feel the same way that one pasuk is, that they're both dealing with Dover Kosheh, just one was for Asiya and one was for Tzavo. Why? V'idach im Kain, if they were both for Dover Kosheh, lichtoiv oi godol godol oi kosheh kosheh. The pasuk, the two psukim should have used the same expression, being that they were both dealing with the same idea. Either use the word gadol, which indicates greatness in terms of complexity of matter, and say that word twice, or kosheh. Say that twice. My gadol umay kosheh. Why is it that the Torah changed its expressions? Shmami notarti. We learn from this that the Torah is referring to two different situations. Boi Rebbe Elazar, Shoro Shel Koyen Gadol Bekama. Rebbe Elazar raises a question. The animal, the ox of a Koyen Gadol, that killed somebody. How many judges are needed to judge the case? Lamisas Bailandi Day. We're going to have here an Aleph Odilma Bays structure. Two sides to the question. Do we say the Aleph side, Lamisas Bailim Didei Medamin Olei, that the death of this animal, this murderous ox, is treated like a capital case of its owner. Who is its owner? The Kohen Gadol. How is a Kohen Gadol judged if he is guilty of a capital offense, of murder, let us say? He would be judged by a court of 71. And that's what Medamino, and we've written in Uboi Ayin Alf, and you would require 71. Oidilmo, or possibly Lamisas Bailim de Alma Medamino Leu. It could be that the prosecution of the Kohen Gadol's ox would be done the same way that an ordinary person would be prosecuted, and that's by a court of 23. Omar Abaye, Midaka Mibayo Le Shoro, from the fact that Reb Elazar is bothered by the issue of his murderous ox, Michlal, it seems, says Abaye, it seems obvious to Reb Elazar, the Mamoinoi Pshitole, that the issue of simple financial matters of a Kohen Gadol, exclusive of murderous ox, loans and possession of articles, all kinds of other financial matters, that seems to be obvious to Reb Elazar that it's treated as simple dine mominus and three judges are sufficient. In other words, the fact that Reb Elazar is addressing only this unique case of the Kohen Gadol's murderous ox, and I don't know, he says, is it 23 or 71, it seems obvious to Reb Elazar that all other financial matters are standard fare, namely judged by three. So the Gemara says, regarding Abaye's point, Pshita, what are you mechadesh to us? What are you informing of us that we wouldn't have known anyway? Mahu detema, Abaye says, I might have thought, without my making any comments, one might have thought, Hoyul v'kosav kol hadavar hagadol, since the pasuk in reference to judgment of the Kohen Gadol says, Kol hadavar hagadol, and we saw that in Shmos Yudches, Yoviu Elecha, I might have taken that pasuk to mean, Kol davar of shel gadol, all matters of the Adam Gadol, including his Dine Mominus, will be by a Beis Din of 71. Kamash Malon, therefore Abaye comes to tell us that that's not the case. That even though there's a reference to the Kohen Gadol being judged by 71, it doesn't mean every matter of the Kohen Gadol, including his financial matters. It simply means capital cases of the Kohen Gadol. And in that context, there's room to ask about the murderous ox of the Kohen Gadol, which is also a quasi-capital case. But as far as other financial matters, one should not think that the pasuk is coming to include those as well. The Gemara continues regarding the orders of the nation entering a milchemes harashus, and what's roughly translated an optional battle. We saw Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta that said all the battles outside of Yehoshua's conquest of Eretz Israel are considered milchemes harashus. Ein motzien the milchemes harashus LLP based in shel shivim ve'echad. The topic heading is in fact that the idea that, and we've included that in our notes, say heading, Ein motzien l'melchemes rishus, elo al pi beizin shel shivim ve'echod. The Gemara asks, Minohani, meaning from where do we know this? The Gemara presents two answers, and we see that by the geometric forms that we've incorporated in the text. The house form, one of our series indicators, and we've also indicated in the outside margin, this house form, two makoros, two sources, to explain how do I know that the instructions to enter battle are done by the court of 71. Omar Rebbe Avohu, the Omar Kro, the Lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamoid, and this pasuk is going to be darshan now in a fragmented fashion. It says there in the pasuk, Yamod Hu, Ze Melech, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito, Ze Moshuach Milchoma, V'chol Ho'eda, Ze Sanhedri. With our markings, we've featured the expressions Milchoma with a dashed underline, and also Sanhedrin with a dashed underline. So we see that the Sanhedrin is involved with matters concerning entrance into battle. The Gemara asks, the Dilma, maybe what this Pasuk is coming to teach us is something else. Maybe it's telling me, L'Sanhedri hu deka'amar lehu rachmona de'l'shailu ba'urim v'tumim. Let's take a look at Rashi, who explains this question. V'dilma, ha deka midkar kra b'Sanhedri gadol. That which the Pasuk, midkar means mazkir, makes reference to. That which the Pasuk makes reference to, Sanhedrin Gedola, Mishum She'elas Urim V'tumim Hu Asa. It's coming because of the issue of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which responded through, we'll call through divine intervention, responded to questions posed in its presence. La'ashmi'inan, and the Pasuk is informing us, the Dinish Olin L'Sanhedrin B'urim V'tumim V'chem L'melech V'chem L'mashuach M'chomah. That only these institutions, these people and institutions, are answered by the Urim V'Tumim, namely leadership figures like the Sanhedrin, or the king, or the anointed priest who's in charge of military matters. Avolo lehedyo. But the Urim V'Tumim doesn't respond to a private inquiry. But as far as our topic is concerned, entrance to battle, that as far as the Pasuk is concerned, they would enter battle even without the permission of the Sanhedrin. So the question will come back, from where does the Mishnah know that entrance to battles of Milchemes Rishus are done with the approval of Sanhedrin Gedola? I, at this point, don't see it from this Pasuk that began Ufnei Elozor HaKohen Yamot. Ella, the Gemara goes on to approach number two. Notice we've employed a long marking to show the extent of Gemara lines needed to arrive at this point. That's indicated by the encircled two that you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length. Ella, ki ho di omer of acho bar bizna omer of Shimon Chasida. As according to what he says, Kinor Hoya Tolui Lamalo Mimitaso Shel David. There was a musical instrument, a kinor, that was suspended above King David's bed. Kemon Shigia Chatzos Laila, when midnight came, Ruach Tzvonis Minashevas Bo, a northerly wind would blow through this instrument, Vahoya Menage Melov, and it would sound music on its own. With that happening, Miad Hoya David Oimed, the Oisek Batura, Ad Shalom Udashachar, David would arise from his slumber, from his rest, and involve himself with Torah learning until the morning. Kevon Shalom Udashachar, when morning would arrive, Nichmesu Chachmei Israel Etzlo, the sages of Israel would enter his quarters, Omrulo, and say to him, Adonenu Hamelech, addressing him as our master, the king, Amcho Yisrael Tzrichin LeParnosa, your nation needs support, needs wherewithal to survive. Parnosa, Omar Lohem Lechuv is Parnosu Zamizeh. So King David said, why not conduct business with one another and thereby yield profits? Omru Lo Ein HaKoymeitz Masbia Esoari VeEin HaBor Mismale Milchul Yoso. The figurative answer that they gave meant that internal local commerce will not be sufficient to provide sufficient profits for the population. The translation of what they said was Ein HaKoymeitz Masbisri, the handful of food, a small amount, doesn't satisfy a lion who has a ravenous appetite, and the bor is not filled up with the dirt that is dug from within it. In other words, we need outside commercial avenues in order to successfully support ourselves. Well, if that's the case, so Omar Lahem David responds, Lechu pishtu yedechem begedud. Then go into battle and try to conquer the neighboring areas, and you'll thereby increase your commercial opportunities. Miad Yoyatsin Ba'Achitofel. As soon as they heard that from the king, they sought counsel with Achitofel, one of the major counselors of King David. We've dashed underline that because this is the main point of the whole discussion. And then they would consult with the Sanhedrin and get permission from them to enter battle. And also ask the Urim V'tumim whether they would be successful. Omar of Yosef, my craw. What's the pasuk that indicates these things? The Gemara answers, we have the following pasuk. V'achrei Achitofel, after seeking counsel with Achitofel, Benoyo ben Yehoyada, Ve'evyosar, V'sar Sava Lamelech, Yoyov. Achitofel ze yoyetz v'cheinu omer va'atzas Achitofel asher yoatz. In the pasuk we read at the top, we see that Achitofel represented a source of counsel. He was a counselor, an advisor, and that's what the Gemara had mentioned at the end of Omer Aleph. The Gemara mentioned that after David HaMelech said lechu pishtu yedeichem begdud, the Gemara said miyad yoyatsin b'Achitofel. So we see Achitofel appears in the first position, and he was a yoetz, a counselor, an advisor. The second party mentioned in the pasuk is Ubnu Yohu ben Yehoyada, Zu Sanhedrin. Means he was the greatest member of the Sanhedrin. He was Mufla Shebebezin, the greatest member of Sanhedrin. Evyosar, Elu Urim V'tumim. Evyosar was the Kohen Gadol, and he wore the Urim V'tumim, V'cheinu Omer. And likewise, we see the order of these two individuals indicated in the following pasuk. And I emphasize here the term order of things. It says, Uvenayo ben Yehoyada, al hakresi v'al haplesi. The word al is interpreted by Rashi, even though there is some discussion in Rishonim that offer different approaches, but we are relying on Rashi's explanation. The word al hakresi, al means before. There, namely, Uvenayo ben Yehoyada is before the kresi uplesi. Notice then, if we compare using our double underline marking as a gauge, we see at the top Benoyah ben Yehoyada, and we called him Aleph, and then following him we saw Evyosar. We see in this pasuk as well Benoyah ben Yehoyada with the double underline, and following him is the Kresi Uplesi. Hence we see that Benoyah ben Yehoyada preceded the Urim V'tumim. The Loma Nikra Shmon Kresi Uplesi, and following the Pirush of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, the question here is, and why is the name of the Urim V'Tumim termed Kresi Uplesi? Why are they called that? Kresi Shekorsin Devrayim Uplesi Shemufloin Maasehem. Korsin Devrayim, meaning they rule. Rashi says, "Choytchem dvorim be'emunasam." They cut their ruling, meaning the Urim V'Tumim yield definitive decisions. Plesi means wondrous, that their act, their activity is wondrous. Of course, the whole Urim V'Tumim was of a miraculous nature. The Achakach Sar Hatzavol Melech Yoav, and afterwards was their encounter with the main general, the head of the army, Yoav. Omer Yitzchok Brei Derav Ado, V'Amri Lo Omer Yitzchok Bar Avudimi, my craw. Here the Gemara is asking, what is the pasuk that indicates that which we saw on Omer Aleph? And we have an arrow here as well, indicating to look for a parallel arrow on Omer Aleph. There the arrow indicates Omer Beis. on Omid Aleph, the arrow toward the lower part of the page was pointing to the line that made reference to the kinor, the musical instrument that was suspended over the bed of David. And hence the Gemara here is asking, where is there a pasuk that indicates that this instrument was suspended above his bed and that served as a form of an alarm clock? The pasuk says, Ura kvoidi, ura hanevel v'chinor, o ira shachar. Ura means to arouse, so that the navel and kinor, and we've dashed underline the word kinor, and also o'iro shachar, which means that the kinor would cause him to arise before the arrival of the morning. As we saw, he arose at midnight, at chatzos laila, to spend the entire night time from chatzos onwards in the study of Torah. No say, we have a topic heading in our outside margin, Ein Mosifun Le'ir Ulazaras LLP Basin Shel Shivan Vecha, that extension of municipal boundaries and courtyard boundaries, courtyard as a reference to the temple of the Beis HaMikdash, is also, when it needed to be extended, was done under the jurisdiction of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara asks, Minohani Mili. From where do I know what the Mishnah said of Ein Mosifin Al Ir Valazoros Al Pi Bez and Shoshivin Vechad? Amar of Simi Barchio, Amar Kro, Kechol Shani Mara Oischo, Estavnis Amishkon, Vestavnis Kol Kelov, Vechain Taasu. And that Vechain Taasu equals Ledoros Haboin. Just like the construction of the Mishkan, which was the precursor of the Beis HaMikdash, was done through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu equals the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so too you need Sanhedrin HaGadol in future generations as well. Rashi says, Kein ta'asu l'doros ma Mishkan al-pi Moshe, v'hu b'mekoyim Sanhedrin Gedola, af l'doros al-pi Sanhedrin Gedola. The Gemara continues, Masiv Rava. Before we go further in the Gemara, we should note in our topic heading under No Say, after mentioning point 1, let us look at what we've written in there, point 2, Kiddush Klei HaMikdash L'doros, the sanctification of holy vessels during subsequent generations. How were vessels sanctified? The Gemara now continues, Masiv Rava. Kol ha-kelim sha'asa Moshe, mishichasan mekadshan, the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the sanctity that was installed upon them, that was conferred upon them, was through mishicha, that's an application of shemen, of oil, shemen ha-mishcha. There was special oil that was prepared for the purpose of sanctifying different vessels. Mikan v'elech, the source says, during subsequent generations, if vessels needed to be sanctified, avodoson mechanchoson, their use in the holy service is what sanctifies them. That's what we saw in a source. The question is, v'amai, why is this distinction made? Nema, why not say, like you mentioned before, v'chein ta'asu l'doros haboyin? Just like we saw in the pasuk k'chol asher ani ma'aroscha, and it said in that pasuk, as tavnis ha'mishkan v'estavnis kol kelov, that whatever was done in Moshe Rabbeinu's time is to be practiced in subsequent generations. Why not say the same thing over here with regard to the sanctification of vessels? Why does this source say there is a distinction? More answers. Shiny Hossam, with regard to vessels and their sanctification, that's different. The Omar Kro, Vayim Shochem, Vayikadesh Oysam. This pasuk makes a reference to the anointing through oil, and it also has a limiting word, Oysam, which means oisam b'meshicha, only those in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu were done through anointing, v'lo l'doros b'meshicha, but not for subsequent generations. Hence we see the source and the distinction it made in the context of vessels. The Gemara asks, v'eimo oisam b'meshicha u'l'doros i b'meshicha i b'avoda, Why not say as follows? If you are, want to make a distinction, you could suggest like this, that the vessels in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were done only by Mashiach. Their sanctification was through the oil alone. But as far as subsequent generations, there is an option, either through the anointing or through their use. Omar Rav Popa, Omar Kra, Asher Yishor Su Bom Bakidish. We've dashed on the line Yishorsu, which means service or use. Hakosuv Tolon Besherus. The Posuk makes the future vessels, Yishorsu, which indicates the future generations, those vessels that will be used in the future, they are tolui, their sanctity is tolui on their use. Namely, their use and not through oil. So what do we see from here? That future generations gain their sanctity, the vessels gain their sanctity, only through use. If that be the case, Ela oisom lomali, what do I need the limitation word of oisom? And you can see where we featured that just before by using the arrows, one we have here and the one just above. At that line, we had dashed underlined oisom a few lines up, and you see that that was a limiting word, indicating that in the Moshe Rabbeinu's vessels were done through Mashiach. At this point, though, I see that future generations don't need to be excluded through the oisom word, because we have a separate pasuk for future generations indicating that their sanctity is through use alone. So what does the limitation word osam accomplish? The Gemara answers, ilav osam, had I not had that limitation word, have amira, I would have thought as follows. Ledoros b'meshicha uba avoda. That future generations need not only use, but also anointing. Deha ksiv v'chein ta'asu. Because there is that previous pasuk that said that future generations are parallel to that which took place during the time of Moshe. And we know that that the time of Moshe oil was used, so future generations should have oil as well. Therefore, kosav rachmana oisam. Therefore, it was necessary to teach osam, which means oisam b'meshicha. Those of Moshe Rabbeinu were through meshicha, through the oil application, velo ledoros b'meshicha. But future generations not through Mashiach. So at the end of this discussion, with regard to vessels, we come out, as we saw in the source that Rava brought in, vessels during the time of Moshe gained sanctity through anointing, and we're saying anointing alone, and those of future generations gained their sanctity through service, through use alone, and not through anointing. As far as expansion of cities of Yerushalayim and Azoros of the Beis HaMikdash are concerned, that, however, is paralleled to the construction of the Mishkan, and just like the construction of the Mishkan was done under the auspices of Moshe Rabbeinu, who equaled 71, so too future generations involved with similar activities, namely expansion of Beis HaMikdash boundaries and boundaries of Yerushalayim, will be through a court of 71. V'ein oisin sanhedrois l'shivotim elo al pi bezdin shel shivim ve'echad. The establishment of the smaller Sanhedrin, the courts of 23, that were appointed for tribal matters, those courts are appointed through the court of 71. Menolon, the Gemara asks, from where do we know that? Just like we found by Moshe Rabbeinu, who set up Sanhedros through the counsel of his father-in-law Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu stands in the place of 71. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer in the picture, 71 is necessary for setting up these Sanhedrois of Shvatim. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a Tanaic source, and we've employed diamonds in the source as well. We look at the side of the Gemara, the Nosei and Mivneh. We see the diamond feature, Drushos al haposuk shoftim v'shoitrim titein l'cha. We're going to be breaking down this pasuk and darshaning this pasuk and see what it teaches us. Before we read the source, let's look at the inside margin of our Gemara where we've written out the pasuk, shoftim v'shoitrim titein l'cha b'chol sharecha, asher Hashem elokecha noisein l'ch l'shivotecha, v'shoftu esha'om mishpat tzedek. The diamonds, if you just scan over the Gemara before reading, you'll notice the first expression is Li Yisrael. The second means for all of Israel. The second expression is L'chol Shevet V'Shevet, for each tribe. And then the third expression in the diamond is L'chol Ir V'Ir, for each city. So we're going from major to minor, from Klal to Prat. Under each section of this source, you'll notice the source is broken down with numbers and letters. We have section 1, 2, and 3. Under each section, section 1 will have Aleph and Beis. Aleph is a reference to Shoftim, judges, and Beis will be a reference to police. So we're going to deal with judges and police for all of Israel, judges and police for each Shevet, and likewise judges and police for each city. Minayin Tana Rabbanan, the source begins, Minayin Shema Amidim Shoftim LiYisrael. From where do we know that judges are to be established over all of Israel? Talmud Lomar, Shoftim, Titen. The three dots represent the missing of words. In this case, one word is missing, but our drasha is to attach Shoftim to the word Titen, place judges. Shotrim LiYisrael Minayin, from where do we see that a police force is necessary to be appointed over all of Israel? Talmud Omar, Shotrim Titein. Shotrim, Shoftim L'chol Shevet V'Shevet Minayin. From where do I know that judges are needed for each tribe? Talmud Omar, Shoftim L'Shvotecha. The Tosis makes a comment over here that we'll look at together. Shoftim l'chol shevet v'shevet. Tosis says, Im yesh be'ir achas mishnei shvotim. If you have a city that is located between two tribes, then oisin shnei sanhedros. It's necessary to have two separate sanhedrins. That even though they're in one city, since part of the city is part of one tribe and the other part of the city is part of another, each part of the cities that's shayach to that particular tribe gets their own Sanhedrin. Continuing in the Limud, Shotrim l'chol shevet v'shevet minayin, from where do I know that each tribe has to have its police? Talmud Lomar, Shotrim l'shvatecha. Shoftim l'chol ir v'ir minayin, from where do I know that every city has to have its judges? Talmud Lomar, Shoftim b'chol she'orecha. Shotrim b'chol ir v'ir minayin. Talmud Lomar, Shotrim b'chol she'orecha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad memuna al kulan. One court in charge of all of them, which would be a reference to the Sanhedrin Gedolah, Shnemar, Titen l'cha. That one is placed over all. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, L'shvatecha v'shoftu. Mitzvah b'shevet ladun es shivtoi. Namely, that it's a mitzvah, it's incumbent upon each tribe to judge its own people. Namely, members of one tribe should not go to the basin, to a court of another tribe. V'ein oisin ir hanidachas, LRP basin shall shivim ve'echad. Minohani, from where do we know that an irhani dachas, an idolatrous city, is judged by the court of 71. Omar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Omar Rabbi Yoshaya, the Omar Kro. The pasuk in the context of Avodah Zora says, "Votseso eso ishahu o eso ishohahi el shorecha." This, of course, is something we saw before. Ish v'isha tamotzi the shorecha. Individuals, private people, one will take for prosecution to Sharecha. Sharecha is a reference to the gates of the city where the local courts sat. V'yata motzi kol irkulo l'sharecha. But an entire city you do not take to the local court, but rather you take them to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Ein oisen ir hanidachas basfar. The Mishnah said, we do not condemn a city as an ir hanidachas if it's located on the border of Israel. Mai taima? Mikir becho, omar rachmona, volo min hasfar. The pasuk says, v'yadichu es yoshua iram, mikir becho. From within your midst. Midst means interior as opposed to border. Veloy shalosh. We do not create a situation or judge a situation that would result in three cities being condemned as orei hanidachas. Tichtiv achas. The pasuk says, ki sishma ba achas orecha. Avol oisim achas o shtayim. However, there is a possibility of even two being made, being condemned. Dechtiv orecha, orecha a plural word. Tanu rabbanan. The Gemara presents a source, and the topic that we are about to embark upon is entitled at the side the nosei isur asiyas gimel ir nidachas, the prohibition of proclaiming three cities to be ir hanidachas. The Gemara goes on with the source. Achas means achas v'lo shalosh. One city, yes, but not three. Ata oimer achas v'lo shalosh eino elo achas v'lo shtayim. You say one, not three. Maybe it means one and not two. Kishomer orecha arei shtayim amur. After all, the pasuk does say orecha, which is plural of cities, so two are stated as a possibility. Ha'amen mikayim achas. So what do I do with the word achas? The word achas is achas v'lo shalosh. The word one comes to exclude the possibility of three. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a triangle, and this triangle is used to indicate two versions of Rav's comments. Zimnin Omar Rav, on occasions Rav would say, "Bebeisdin echod hu de'ein oisin," that which we said we do not make three ir hanidachas, that is if it's at the hands of one beisdin. Rashi explains, "Bebeisdin echod kol zman she sanhedri zu kaimo." We do not make three, that means by this particular Sanhedrin, that as long as this Sanhedrin is around, avol mesu elu, v'nismanu acherim, if these members of Sanhedrin died and others were appointed, and new members were appointed, then oisin, then you could have several ir hanidachas is made. In other words, the prohibition, the restriction of not making three is if you're dealing with one beis din, the same beis din making all three. Ha b'shnayim u'shlosha bate dinim, oisin. But if you have two or three beis dins, you could come out to a situation of having three ir hanidachas. V'zinin amarav afilu b'shnayim u'shlosha bate dinim le'olam ein oisin. Even if you have different bati dinim, never create a situation of getting up to three ir hanidachas. My time of the Rav, what is the explanation for Rav's restriction? Mishum korcha. We don't want a situation of baldness, which would mean if you have three cities that are destroyed, it's as if sections of Israel were ripped out and leaving baldness there. And that's too harsh a situation to tolerate. Omar Reish Lakish, Lo Yishanu Elo B'Mokim Echad. Reish Lakish says that the restriction of three Ir Hanidachas is only when you're dealing with the same region. Namely, Eretz Yisrael is broken down into different regions. For example, you have the Galil region, the northerly region. You have the southerly region known as Yehuda. So that in Galil, one cannot have three Ir Hanidachas. Avol b'shnayim u'shloshim mekayim oisin. However, if you have a one Ir Hanidachas in Galil, and a second Ir Hanidachas in Yehuda, and a third Ir Hanidachas in Eved HaYarden, you have three Ir Hanidachas. That would be okay, since they are not in one region. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Oisin, Mishum Korcha. Rabbi Yochanan says, absolutely not allowed to have three Ir Hanidachas because of what we termed before Korcha. Tanyo Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan that one is never allowed to have a situation of three Ir Hanidachas. Ein oisin shalosh ayoros menudochos be'eretz Yisrael. One is not allowed to have three orei hanidachas in the land of Israel. Aval oisin oisam shtayim k'gon achas b'Yehuda v'achas b'Galil. You could have two, one in the Yehuda region and one in the Galil region. Aval shtayim b'Yehuda u'shtayim b'Galil ein oisin. But to have even two in one region would not be allowed. U'smucha l'asfar afilu achas ein oisin. And next to the border, even one is not allowed to be condemned. My time, regarding the border, why not? Shemo yishmu nochrim v'yachrivu es Eretz Yisrael. We're fearful that if we condemn a border city as an Ir Hanidachas, whereby we actually destroy the contents of the city, the surrounding non-Jews might hear of this and see that as a sign to encroach upon and destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asks, why do you have to offer me a reason for the issue of border? V'tepuk li de mikir b'cha, Amar Achmona v'lo min asfar. The pasuk was cited that indicates from your midst and not from the border. So we saw that the pasuk itself indicates from the midst as opposed to border. Why is it necessary then to offer a reason? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon he. This explanation is an explanation offered by Rabbi Shimon, the Dorish Taima Dekra. Rabbi Shimon is a Tana that even though the pasuk says something, he offers reasons behind that which the Torah says. And therefore, the fact that a reason is given is not to the exclusion of the drosha from the pasuk, but rather it's an explanation serving to enhance that which the pasuk says. With that, we complete our shiur for today.